This is WSCIRO, Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, a broadcast service of Sikh Christian Teaching and Worship Center, Greater Boston, Massachusetts.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love. Where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la. My King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la. I'll seek you from morning to night.
Well, thank you everyone for coming to my birthday party. Oh, gee, great. You know, I really needed a tie.
Oh, yeah. Hey there, Jim. That's no problem. You know, I saw that and I said to myself, hey, Jim wears shirts and stuff. So I'm thinking, shirts, a tie, it's perfect. A match made in heaven.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Wait, sweetie. Here's one more gift for you.
What is it, honey?
Just open it.
Hey, it's a Bible. I've been wanting one and it's got my name on it.
This is no ordinary Bible. It's the Personal Promise Bible. It doesn't just have your name on it. It's got your name inside it, too.
Let's see. John 3:16. For God so loved Jim. Wow, this is cool.
Check out Proverbs 18:22.
Wow. When Jim found Linda, he found a good thing. I sure did. Thanks, honey.
The Personal Promise Bible, the most thoughtful gift you could ever find. Call toll-free to get your Personal Promise Bible. 1-866-847-7731. A Bible as unique as you are. Online at personalpromisebible.com.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. We thank you for coming to our station, WSCIRO. That's Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. And I am Dr. Shirley Caniff, the general manager, one of the general managers. Well, of course, the other general manager is my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. But he will be coming in later on in the broadcast. But this is part two of Faith Talks Light Prayer, specifically the second part to of the series, From His Heart to Your Heart. We had originally wanted this to be one show, but we did not have enough bandwidth to upload the full 2 hours, so we had to equally separate the shows in their pre-broadcasted segments and distribute them in different segments. And so this is for all you people out there who are wondering, how does she do this? How does Dr. Shirley do this? We do it very easily and very carefully and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Always under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so we just thank you, Lord, for coming into this time. Lord, we ask that you would bless the hearts of the people that are listening, Lord, and bless my friends and family from Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, and Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to continue the conversation regarding this reason, the significance and the call to pray for your family. It's an urgency that's on the heart of the Lord. Just because we want to prepare, the Lord wants His people to be prepared for what's coming upon the earth, and also He wants to cover the family that makes up society, not only in His blood, but in a mantle of prayer. Okay, because that's what's going to get us through. That is what's going to get us through for what lies ahead. Because we're here specifically for one purpose, but of course we have responsibilities in our day in and day out activities, but the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God, okay? And bringing heaven to the earth, it's very well needed, okay? We don't need to say anymore. We don't need to glorify the darkness, because we are all called to be lights that shine in the darkness. And the darkness will not overcome the light, because it dispels the light. When we have the light of Christ in us, we have all we need to dispel dispel the light, dispel the darkness. We have the light of Christ in us. We are like, light shining in the darkness on top of a hill. Okay, a city on a hill, dispelling the darkness, all right, that's around. But we need to know who we are, and we need to know who we carry and what our mission and what our purpose is. And that's the basis of why we have these series of talks called Faith Talk Live Prayer. It's right now, we're on Sunday, April 1st. For some of you, you're thinking April Fool's, but it actually is Palm Sunday. We are going into, according to the church calendar, we are entering into the sixth week of Lent, which is also Holy Week. What the church usually does, it encourages us to do, is meditate on the passion of Jesus, the passion of Christ, but in a more intimate way, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And we begin by the Last Supper, which is on Thursday, and the washing of the feet, and then we go into in great detail the stations of the cross, and that's on Good Friday, and then there's a Holy Vigil Mass where we go to the tomb of Jesus and discover as a community that he is risen from the dead. So we go through all the readings, and they're all from the Bible. And then everybody, goes over their baptismal vows. We dedicate ourselves, and there is a sprinkling of water, holy water, to commemorate the baptism. And at that time period, especially Holy Vigil Mass, what they call the catechumens come forward, and they get baptized in front of everyone. Some churches do dunk them, they do the total immersion, and others do if they have the facility, and others do just the head, And I know there's some controversy, but this is not the show to talk about the difference between total immersion and also baptizing on the head. So that could be another conversation, but not today. Anyways, I kind of gave you a synopsis of what Holy Week is all about. And we do start, we also, today was the procession of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and what his disciples and him went through when he got arrested and was brought to Pontius Pilate, okay? The Sanhedrin first and then Pontius Pilate. So, I always like this time of year because even though I'm always in the Word every day, my husband's always in the Word every day, and we pray and we receive communion, it's so awesome when the whole community of believers at the same time going through this journey, going through this exodus. So so again, happy Holy Week, and enjoy the rest of the show. I want to encourage you to grab your Bibles, grab some friends, all right, and relax, pray before you put this show on, and also study Psalm 93 and Psalm 128, because there are two dreams that I'm going to be focusing on, I'm going to be talking about, and it has something to do with Psalm 93 and 128. And God is speaking some powerful words in these two psalms, but as he moves through time in the context of, dream or revelation from heaven appointed for this day and age for the body of Christ. And I'm just being obedient, and when the Lord it gives me the strength and he wants me to talk about it, that's what we do. That's another reason why we have these shows as well. For you, for those of you who want further prayer, you can always join us on Facebook. And for if you have something that you want prayer for regarding family, email me, and also be sure to sign up for our open group, the New Faith Talk Live Prayer Media Missionary Prayer Group. It's an association to our shows. And also for those who have a pressing need for countries that have a political upheaval, anything you know regarding leadership that you want prayer for, whether it be church leadership or governmental leadership, anything you need intercessory prayer for, again, message me under Dr. Cheryl. Dr. Shirley Caniff on Facebook, and if you want to become part of that whole the Faith Talks Live Prayer Media Missionary Group, it's a secret group, but it's for those who are very serious with you know regarding intercession, or if you're from a country where this is going on, you don't want to be identified. It's all done clandestine because we understand that there are people on the internet that are trying to, you know, get information, and it may not be good for security for that person requesting prayer on behalf of their country. So we really take that seriously. And if you would like prayer, again, drop a prayer request and message me, and I will get that to the group, okay? We haven't been as active as we can. I do try to go there from time to time, couple of times a day, but I want to encourage you that even though I am not actively talking to anyone or praying, I still get the prayer requests, and me and my husband, we pray, and also we get others to pray over and above Facebook, okay? So know that the prayers are going up, all right? Anyways, enjoy the show, and God bless you. Bye-bye.
God of justice. I am the righteous judge of all creation. I am the King of kings. I am with the generation of the righteous. I am God. My statutes rejoice the heart. I am the one who makes unbreakable covenants with man. I am holy, pure, and undefiled. I am God. Beside me, there is no God. I am God by which all actions are weighed. I am God. My testimony is sure. I am God. My commandments enlighten the eyes. I am the witness on your behalf. I am righteous. Kings humble themselves before me. I am God whose eyelids test the sons of men. I am the spirit of wisdom. I am my ordinances. I am the divine judge of all things. I am the law. I am my statutes. Walk in them. I am judge of the living and the dead. I am the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I am righteous. I am perfect knowledge. I am before whom every tongue will confess. I am the Lord who loves righteousness. I am the unbiased, impartial judge. I am the Lord, and my judgments are righteous altogether. I am he who sent Moses to deliver Israel. I am God, and no one can reverse my acts. I am to be feared above all gods. I am God who refines you. I am my judgments. I am the Lord who heals you.
Thank you. We wait for you.
Okay. That was Come Holy Spirit by Joanne McFadder. To finish the bottom half of the, I should say, to finish the top half of the hour. And this is Dr. Shirley here, and we're coming into the bottom top, you know, the bottom hour, the second hour of Faith Talks Live Prayer, from His Heart to Yours. And I'm telling you, the first half of this was jam-packed with a lot of faith nuggets, and hoping that you all are being blessed and set free and looking forward to a glorious future in Yeshua HaMashiach. Okay, so in the bottom half of the hour, we're going to be exploring in greater detail prophetic revelation the Lord has given me about elevation of the Holy Spirit in the coming revival. And it seems to be centered in Boston, but I really believe it's also going to be spread out, like in a cyclical fashion to all parts of the country and then the all parts of the earth. But it has a lot to do with prayer, like we talked about earlier, and praying for families specifically. You know, this whole Lent was all about praying for the family. There was issues in my family, my personal family, that was coming up in. You know, we just began it with prayer. It was like, and to get to that place of peace and then get to that place of persistence, you know, persistent for the victory for our loved ones. And, you know, my mother-in-law called us over to the house too at some point during the season. And it was like, we needed prayer. And that's all I'm going to say. This was just a burden, you know, that God was putting on all members of the family that pray. To pray for this family, to pray for the nation, to pray for the world, families of the world, to pray for the government. And it was just like a mandate to pray, you know, to pray and intercede. This is a crucial time in order to come into that successful place in this new season. We have to come in the vehicle of prayer, right? Yeah. Oh gosh. Whew. Anyways, I wanted to start this off with before my husband comes on and interviews little Shirley, and then he's going to talk about the HHS mandate and the freedom of conscience. And he's got some good stuff he wants to talk about, and I'm going to let him. Anyways, elevation of the Holy Spirit is coming to New England and Boston. I had this posted on Facebook, so for any of you who want to see the hard copy of this, become my friend. And you can go and under notes, and it's right there. Anyways, I had a dream within a few hours of writing this. This is how I opened this up with. That the Lord took me back to the high school that I attended some years ago, specifically Whitman Hanson Regional High School. And was specifically to the track and field that I used to practice track and field on. The funny thing was, I had to board a plane and fly to the field, and when I got onto the field, there was the old group of people that I had practiced with. They were like a mediocre team, and that was the kind of the nature of the team when I was on the field, the track and field. The old team that represented this mediocre team was there with a new group of people that I was told to practice with, and they were the champions. The champions were of an unusual manner and demeanor because some of the team members were from the New England Patriots, a Super Bowl team, who have had a history of winning 3 Super Bowls. All right. So the second part of this dream is, I kind of titled this, Preparing for the Race. I and the team members were preparing for a race that was coming up, and for this reason, the practices had to be at night on a lit field. Before the practice drill began, I was asked to lead the team in a tribal dance in 2 concentric circles, representing a wheel within a wheel. It appeared in the dream at this point that my assignment was to choreograph the people of the inner circle to do certain movements, and also to give a different set of dance instructions to the external circle of people on the outside, and somehow this was going to gain enough momentum to start running the track around the track around them, for the two groups were in the center on the football field. I also need to mention one other thing. Tom Brady, the Patriots quarterback in the natural, was the quarterback in the stream. And when this happened, I received further instruction on how to coordinate the dance. I was supposed to have gone, that's what it was. He was in the stream, and he was the quarterback, and the thing is, I needed to, I began doing leg and hamstring stretches to prepare for the race, and then I was going to, I'm trying to read my writing, it's typed, I was going to be instructed to work alongside of Tom Brady, the quarterback, and when this happened, then I received further instruction on how to coordinate this particular dance. This not only gave me enough momentum to run swiftly around the track as they were dancing in the center of the field, it also gave me enough momentum to soar high above them. As I was soaring high above them, I am thinking in my mind that this is kind of strange. This doesn't normally happen when I'm running the track. But I am running faster and faster and swiftly and faster. And because of this momentum, this is actually lifting me up higher and higher. It was as if the two teams that were doing this dance in the center of the field, somehow the power that was coming from them caused me to go higher and higher and higher. Okay. As I'm soaring higher and higher, the track that I'm running on turns into a big aircraft, and I'm still running. Now I am running on the track, and the aircraft is moving higher. It's going up. I'm panicking as I'm in this aircraft, still running the track inside of the aircraft. And I panic a little because it seemed to hover over the expressway of Boston. Nobody was flying the plane. That was another, caution. I wasn't scared out of my mind, but I was concerned. That's what it was. It was a concern. This disturbed me greatly because the aircraft was flying by itself with me in it. I thought to myself, I should be down there on the track with the two teams and not up in this aircraft. And then I thought this to myself, if I don't get out very soon, I would be flying away, of course, and nobody would be able to locate me. And that's when I called out to my husband, which, in the dream, my husband is he's actually the Lord. He has the likeness of my husband, but, in the dream, I understood him as, also the Lord. My husband somehow appeared and helped me land the plane inside of a tunnel underneath the bridge, and all I could think about was, how was I going to get this plane to Logan Airport before the rush hour traffic, which was beginning around 4 a.m. I was instructed to wait for someone to arrive and it will be cleared before the rush hour traffic, which is like the 11th hour, and everyone will be fine. That's when I woke up. I woke up with a sense of peace. Now, after praying praying for this dream and asking a few other intercessors to also petition the Lord and ask, what the meaning of some of this was to them. Actually blessed me with this dream interpretation. As I was asking these people, it's the funniest thing. As soon as I'm asking, I'm getting an interpretation. Maybe because I had the dream. It was for me and it was for the body. In the dream posted above, I felt that there was something in it personally for me and then for the body of Christ. Much of it has to do with praying and intercession in the secret place, on an individual basis and then with others. I felt that the choreography was something that the Lord himself had orchestrated. And it was the Lord himself that would give to me or whoever the interpretation of the meaning of the body of Christ in this dream. Also in the dream, there were many faceless people, meaning the body of Christ. But at the same time, there were also clear and distinct people in the dream doing distinct things. I believe that the appearance of Tom Brady in the dream is a type for the Holy Spirit. The instruction that I was given was to go alongside of Tom, who actually was the Holy Spirit, to get some instruction and work with him as like a quarterback, like in a quarterback situation, with the Holy Spirit. And when given these instructions in the time of praying and waiting in the night season, then the Lord says to run with the ball, I am to run. There definitely is the dying to self here, because in the dream, as the Holy Spirit was pointing to Tom Brady, to respond to him like in a quarterback situation, I instantly felt unworthy in the fulfillment of the assignment, because, he represented, the Super Bowl team, and it was a 3-time Super Bowl champion, and I wasn't. I looked at my life, and I'm like, oh my Lord, I made so many mistakes, and blah, 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 blah. Then the Lord pointed out to me the meaning of three being Trinity, and the fact that the real Super Bowl champion is the work of the Trinity, the work that Jesus did on Calvary 2,000 years ago, when he won the Super Bowl, which was eternal life for us, for humanity. And the Super Bowl was, of course, Calvary, the biggest Super Bowl ever in the history of mankind. I am also getting something regarding the wheel within the wheel in Ezekiel, which is the movement of the Holy Spirit of God within the spirit of man. The fact that this happened in New England and in Boston speaks volumes with what the Lord wants to do in Boston and New England. And the simple fact that this is where Christianity first took off, the organized Christianity, especially when the pilgrims fled from England to escape persecution and to come here specifically to worship in freedom and to worship Jesus in spirit and truth and in freedom, right? Okay. So the fact that this happened in New England and in Boston speaks volumes of what the Lord wants to continue to do in Boston and New England through the strategic intercession of the believers of both camps, and the fact that all the prayers that were prayed, in the ancient wells of salvation that were dug out here in spirit, all those waters are going to be released, and it's going to come into our time and join in with what the Lord wants to do in this generation. And it's going to have a major impact in the world. But there is a work he is doing in the hearts of the two camps. And as I'm reading this, the two camps could also represent two generations coming together. Two genererations, two parts of the body, just body parts, the different parts of the body of Christ that make up the body of Christ in this generation, and also what was sown in the previous generations, coming together for such a time as this. It says, but there is work he is doing in the hearts of the two camps, because there is still much dissension and contention. We spoke about that earlier. And an unwillingness to work and walk in complete unity regarding the things that the Lord is calling all parts of the body to, all parts of the body of Christ. I've been awoken up in the wee hours of the night to early morning many times, praying and interceding for different parts of the body of Christ in the world, in my quiet times to the Lord, and he's about ready to do some awesome things in this new season of crossing over. I know that vehicles many times in dreams need ministry, and I wasn't thinking place when on the track. I have also been praying that the Lord would put believers who have lost their focus and need to get back on track. So that's, that's another thing too. That's the other meaning of track. Actually, it's a play on words, get back on track to the place that God has called them to, because the mission of the new season, which is the season that we are it's like the door has opened. And the success of this new season will have much to do with each individual's ability to step into and surrender and be totally obedient to the call of God in their lives. And you can't even listen to those who try to stifle your call, to make you feel unworthy, through even using your past against you. The Lord, he takes us up out of our pits, in his resurrection power, out of the pits of destruction that were meant to, for our own demise. And he brings us into a higher place. And so, you know, if we look back at that, we will turn into a pillar of salt, but we don't come into that agreement with what other people may think, even if they're a leader, even if they're a Catholic healing priest, even if they're the Pope, you know, which I believe that there's so much character in this Pope, that good character, godly character, that he wouldn't have tried to discourage people from their calling. Matter of fact, he's encouraged many people to, in the body of Christ, whether you're Catholic, whether you're, you know, but specifically Catholic, but, you know, whether it be a revert, convert, or, you know, believers from another fold, to come together in unity and purpose, because this is what's going to be needed for the days in which lie ahead of us. The plane flying as I am running the race means elevation and promotion in the things of the Spirit and in the things of life as it pertains to the kingdom advancing. I believe the Holy Spirit was flying the plane, and that is why I got a sense of peace, even when feeling a bit strange, undone, and a little out of place in the process. I also felt at the time when I was uncertain as to the direction that this plane or ministry was going, that I should petition my husband, which is the Lord, who had the likeness of my husband, Jeff, but was God himself. Jeff was not in the dream directly. I called Jeff, the Lord disguising himself in the form of Jeff, on the cell phone. And the Lord, acting in the form of Jeff through the phone, landed the plane underneath the bridge of 93 North through his commands. I asked the Lord why, when I woke up, why 93 North when I woke up? And he gave me Psalm 93 immediately as a directive as to what he is planning for his people in the New England area and in the body of Christ in the heart of Boston. North means a word coming directly from heaven. So here is Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne, O Lord, was established long ago. You are from eternity to eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord, the seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves, mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. In my prayer, and this it continues to be my prayer. So, Father, I give you permission to move on behalf of myself and the body of Christ and our intimate walk with the Lord and the place that you have called us to occupy as we place our trust in you and as you wait on you in much prayer, supplication, and obedience. And Lord, I also pray on this, I pray this on behalf of the rest of the members of the body of Christ as well. In Jesus' holy name, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen. You know, and I had submitted this dream to a particular dream site that I go to from time to time. And it seems like sometimes it takes forever for someone to get back to those who post to this particular site. But lo and behold, somebody did finally put their own, you know, another part to this interpretation, to this dream. They also say they believe that the Super Bowl means super great. It bowl refers to the bowl judgments in Revelation. I agree with the will within the will and the meaning that Tom Brady represented the Holy Spirit in the dream, because this was in the center, because according to the diagram used for the body, soul, and spirit, that is what it means. You share the same vision I have for unity in the body of Christ. God bless you. So I want to go back to the bowl judgments, because this relates to what I had posted on my status. I was looking into my news feed this morning when I was working on my Facebook page, and I saw something from Joshua Trent. He used to come on a lot more, but he popped up on the news feed, and he presented a prophetic word that Jason T. Westerfield had given in 2010. I remember that video before, because I had posted it before, but this time the Lord just told me to listen to it again. He's speaking again through that, and to encourage people that He is not going, he's not destroying the earth. He's removing the principalities. And Jason goes on to talk about that and how the judgments are not on people. They're on the principalities that have waged war against the people. And that, but when he deals with them, the places where these principalities have seated, they have sat, okay? When they're unseated, you know, they do kind of leave disgruntled. But, you know, not enough. Sometimes, you know, there is loss of life, but if people heed the call of the Lord to move, or he just, you know, calms the seas or whatever, you know, you won't suffer the brunt or the fury. So our prayer would be on the earth, it should be, to pray that as the Lord unseats these principalities and powers and rulers of these, of the thrones of the demonic army, that there would be peace, and that they would leave peacefully, and that there would be no destruction. Destruction would be minimal, okay. And then the Lord can begin to move in power and glory in the hearts of the people. So that's what we can pray, okay. So the other thing I began to talk to you about earlier, all right, was this quick dream vision that I had when Jeff and I, we just talk about so many things, and we just get, you know, God just does that to us because we enjoy each other, and we enjoy each other's company in the presence of the Lord. But of course, you know, sometimes when we go off course, the Lord will let us know. And that's what happened earlier today as I shoveled my papers around. As I began to kind of hone in on a conversation I had with somebody else the day before, and I brought it to my husband's attention. And, you know, so we were going in another direction when we should have stayed focused on preparing for this show. And so the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and, you know, put me to sleep and came into my time and began to minister to me as an adult, and then as a little girl, the little girl Shirley. And you know, and again, we were on this train going in one direction and it stopped. It was an Amtrak, and we got off to see, you know, what we needed to see at this particular place. But we had to make sure that we went back on the train, lest we miss the next stop. And I got off the train, and then the Lord came and spoke to me from the skies, and he told me, I want you to be obedient, you know. And this is so funny. The train got off; it changed from the train station to 128, Route 128, going north. So I knew there was a word from heaven. And so he gave me Psalm 128, but as he gave me Psalm 128, all right, he wanted me to focus on what he wants to do in his people as they pray, as they fast, and as they pray, especially as they pray for their families. There's a mandate going forth from heaven to pray for your family. Pray for your family, because as you pray, he is going to come in power and glory, and it is going to shape our future. And we have to pray along the righteousness of Jesus for our families. Okay, no soulish prayers. And there was something in me that, you know, he was chastising quietly and lovingly from heaven, and I knew he was serious. But it wasn't like, be obedient or else I will destroy you. It was not that. He was definitely giving me a loving rebuke, and I still felt like I was in his graces. And because I was about ready to go off track, but my prayer has been, Lord, pray continuously that I stay on track, and I've been staying in the gap for the body of Christ as well. And so then I looked up at the sky, and he gave me a gift from heaven. But then I had to receive it as a little girl Shirley. So I think I need to give testimony. You know, this little girl Shirley needs to give testimony as little girl Shirley. And I believe you're going to be blessed, because I don't know what she's going to say, but my husband is going to introduce her in a couple of minutes, and then he will go, and then we'll talk about prenatal conscience and the HHS mandate, you know, and what abortion really is all about, and what, you know, this whole talk, what it all boils down to. Again, like I said earlier, we got to be free in our conscience by receiving Jesus. We got to put on Christ. We cannot have these discussions unless people totally put on Christ and become and is obedient to the Word. You don't. So when you're in Christ, you don't have to do too much convincing. You just are in Christ. And you know that as the landscape changes, just talking about His love and what He's doing, no law on the land can stop you. You know, it didn't stop Jesus in his time period, and it didn't stop the disciples either. They were under some real serious, heavy ruling, the rulership of the Roman government as well. So,
hi, folks.
Anyway,
this is Jeff, your host,
Dr. Jeff Cannon.
And my guest is going to be little Shirley coming up in a few minutes.
But before she comes, we're going to, there is something that the Lord had given me regarding that last dream, Psalm 128, and when I got this, I was like, wow, Lord, you are really moving, rock and roll, Jesus, rock and roll. Anyway, Psalm 128, it's the song of ascent. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed, or the woman blessed, who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So prior to that, even before this account that I'm going to share, the rest of this account, as little Shirley, the Lord had, I also, when I went out in the spirit, I saw the ephod, like He presented to me an ephod, and even prior to that, I was brought to the beginning of the New Jerusalem, the actual gates, and it was like rainbow. It was rainbow wall, you know, made of several colors of the rainbow. And then I saw the ephod, and I knew the Lord was bringing me to a greater place. But I woke up, but then He brought me back under again. So I just want to just leave you with that. You know, we don't lose heart. God is in control. He's on His throne, and He has some wonderful things for His people. Okay, I think little Shirley is here.
Hello?
Hello!
Come on in, little Shirley.
Hi, how you doing? What do you want? What do you want me to see, Daffy?
Shit?
Yeah.
Hey, Shirley, came to share something?
I came to share something.
Can you tell me what Jesus put on your heart?
I had testimony.
Testimony?
Yeah, a testimony.
Sure.
Yeah, and I was just praying and minding my own business, and then God spoke to me, and then I looked up to heaven, and you know what I saw?
What did you see, Shirley?
I couldn't believe it, because I thought I was in trouble. I thought I was in serious trouble, because I was supposed to do something that God wanted me to do. And I didn't do it. I felt so bad. I just,
really?
Yes, I did. I thought I was going to get a spanking from God, but He surprised me.
How did He surprise you?
He touched me. He was so nice. I thought He was going to be screaming for me from heaven. I really did. But you know what He did? He was so
dental. He was such a dental daddy. I didn't realize how nice he could be to me with anybody. Because so many people said so many bad things about God. They would say he was mean, he was going to kill people, and all this stuff. And I was like, he's speaking to me. He didn't say any of that, okay? He didn't say any of that.
None of it?
None. He was so nice to me. You don't know how nice he was. And I just want to apologize for all those people that say bad things about God. Give him bad back.
For sure.
Yes. So anyway, this is what he said to me. You want to know?
Yeah, come
okay,
on.
Anyway, he said, I want you to be a good girl. I want you to be obedient to everything I say, and that means do everything I tell you to do. Okay? And that was it. That was it.
Wow.
And I said, I didn't do what I was told.
Did you understand what being obedient is?
Yeah, I said, I'm just doing everything that he told me to do. And he gave me the pies. He gave me pies. I couldn't believe the pies he gave me. I looked up at the other part of the sky. I love looking at clouds. I mean marshmallows. I love marshmallows. They're so sweet. They taste so good. Anyway, I'm looking at the sky, and I saw a big teddy bear. It looked like a teddy bear at first. Then I look at it again. I'm like, that's the face of a lion, and a teddy bear body. And the eyes were like, they were twinkling, like they were gold. They were gold twinkling eyes. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, the eyes were like glowy, like sparkles.
Surely.
Yeah.
How old are you?
5.
Would that be the audience probably would like to know?
I'm 5 years old, definitely.
And when did Jesus come in to your life?
I think maybe 3, 5. You know, he just wanted me to know about him. And, you know, I didn't know who he was. I just thought these were... And the angels were beat people from... They were little. They would disappear. They would come and go. I was like, what's going on here? They keep coming and they keep going. This way I go talk to them. They leave. I want to always be there for them. They look like little babies. But anyway, I wanted to talk about lion. And I saw the lion. He didn't roar. He just looked at me with sparkles in his eyes. And then it was like afterwards, it was like a piece of the cloud came down to earth, came down to the ground. And then I was told to go into the car. And I said, what car? I said, that don't look like a car. That looks like clouds. A cloud with wheels. And I was like... And then I said, then Debbie, you was in the dream.
Really?
Yeah, well, you were in the dream.
I was?
Yeah, and you never talk in my dreams, but you smile, you know. And I said, come on, Debbie, let's go in the car. And I said, I just don't know where the door is, but we'll find it. And then I was like, I never got into a car like this before. And it was like, it was because it was a cloud with wheels. And it was like marshmallow, like a marshmallow cloud car. And so what I did was, I was like, okay, I just go, like, it was like, also like thick bubbles, it was like shaving cream at the same time, it's like all these things at the same time. And what I did was, I just decided to, okay, I'll just step out of faith and go into the car, and I opened the door, and, you know, and then I had to get past the marshmallow cloud stuff, And I started laughing. I thought it was so funny. I was like, oh my God, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. And so I went in the car, and it was a car inside, and then there was like clouds, and you know what I did?
What did you do?
I was so happy. I said, you know, I better wash myself. I got to put this all over my body. I said, Jeffy, you got to put, wash it off, wash yourself, put it all over your body so you can be clean, nice and clean. And so that's what happened. I got nice and clean, and then I woke up. I was so happy. I was like, oh, God is so cool. He's so nice. He was so nice. He's not mean. He's not mean at all. Everybody in the world, God is not mean. He's very happy. He wants the best for you. He wants to be clean. He wants to be clean, and he has soap suds for heaven. That's right, soap suds.
Wow.
Yeah. So, well, thank you very much, little Shirley. That was so awesome, and you know, and that's right. Our Lord, He wants to clean us. He wants to wash us clean.
He really does. That's a great lesson from little Shirley.
Oh, you know.
Awesome lesson.
If we can only become little children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so, you know, the Psalm 128, I'm just getting a blast right now from the heaven. And, you know, again, it says Psalm 128. I'm just going to say it one more time because I just really believe after that testimony, that's what happened. I received this when I woke up. And I told Jeff, I said, we got to do the show. God wants us to be obedient. He says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. Whoa. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see prosperity in Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So I believe that was a mandate from heaven, what God wants to do, especially for those who pray for the families and who pray for peace in Jerusalem. So anyways, Jeff, we've got a couple minutes here, and we look like we're going to be running out of some time, but we're going to go as long as we can. And Jeff, if I think that because the next topic of discussion is very, it can be very intense, but I've got to give you some good things to talk about regarding the HHS mandate, freedom of conscience, and also, you know, we're going to throw in the healthcare prophecy because it's all part of this whole thing, what's going on in the country, and it seems to be the Catholic Church seems to be the forerunner of that, and many people, and I know it's other evangelical groups, but I believe that because it's been such a an age-old discussion, you know, in the history of the church being here in America, that it's now something that's being caught and taught in the other circles, but you know, the Lord's doing something new with this. And so, Jeff, can you share with the listening audience about about what HHS is and the freedom of conscience and what you are going to talk about in the next episode? Because we're going to have a part one, part two, from His heart to yours. Okay, go.
In a synopsis, mm-hmm. The United States Department of Health and Human Services promoted a contraceptive mandate, and all that means is they're demanding that religious institutions allow their people to have access to contraceptive devices, including things that cause internal abortions, etc. And I'm studying I did a quick examination of some history back to as far as 1875, some certain church documents that are very revealing because the pattern in history is the same. This time it is in the 70s, there was a Dr. Bernard Nathanson. He was a promoter of abortion. He was a founder of NARAD, the National Abortion Rights League, and eventually, through the intercession of the Body of Christ in the United States, Dr. Bernard Nathanson became a Christian in the Catholic faith. And what he did on one of his websites, which I read with my own eyes, he confessed the clarity of what one of the intentions of NARAD was, and that was to discredit the Catholic mores on sexuality. And I'm going to go into much detail later on.
So we're going to, so in the next segment, you'll probably be talking about the Catholic position on contraception as the and natural family planning, and where that, you know, and where the church teaching is on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to talk in greater detail about Bishop Dolan's response to the Obama administration's HHS mandate and what that means regarding freedom of conscience and the difference between freedom of conscience and also the contraception. The other side wants to say that, you know, it's all about the Catholic Church's control on contraception, but it's greater than that. It's just a part of the argument with it. And I don't even like to say argument with, you know, regarding the freedom of conscience. But we remember what I said, we're free in Jesus, no matter what the law of the land is. Okay, so what else, Jeff? What else are you going to talk about?
I think that there's so much depth. We need to know our faith better, and Christians of every denomination need to stand together, because if it threatens one, it threatens all. It even runs the risk of threatening non-Christian believers. So this is really important to discuss and be informed at, because in this generation we have more access to the truthful information, and we should be using our computer skills to dig up the information for ourselves so we can know what's honestly being said in either direction on the conversation.
Okay, so we've reached the end, but this is actually only the beginning of this particular topic, and join us in part two of Faith Talks Live Prayer, from His Heart to Yours, and we will have a communion at the end of that. And so I hope you were blessed with the nuggets that were shared today, but this had to be said in order to, for you to understand the full scope of what we're going to talk about regarding the HHS mandate. I wanted to prep you spiritually, so your hearts can receive the truth in what God wants, and things like that, and the importance of praying for your families, because the family that stays together, that prays together, the family that prays together stays together.
The compassion of Jesus. Matthew 9:35-38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, for they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Matthew 14:14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed their sick. Jesus, we come to you today. And even as you were moved with compassion and healed their sick, Jesus, we pray that your heart would be moved with compassion towards us today. And you would come and you would heal us. And you would restore us. And you would set our hearts free. Be moved with compassion, Lord. For we are weary and burdened, but we draw near to you, and in your endless love and in your deep compassion, heal us and restore us. and make us whole. Let your heart be moved. Let your heart be moved by a compassion that runs deeper than any love we know in this earth. It's a supernatural compassion that releases the very virtue and power of God. It's a supernatural compassion, the depths of the love of God's heart. Father, be moved toward your children today. Let the compassion of your heart be moved towards us today. And fill us with your love and compassion for others. Lord, just as we receive your love, just as you love us, Lord, I pray that we would love others. With the perfect love with which you have loved us, I pray that we would love others, and our hearts would be moved with the same compassion that moved the heart of Christ. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Lord, your compassion comforts us. Lord, your love heals us. And I pray that that same compassion and love would flow through us to bring healing to others.